heard the call to build your small business? Make it happen with a .net domain name, the place for dreamers for 30 years and counting. Visit keepdreamingup.net for tips and advice, whether you're just getting started or looking to grow. That's keepdreamingup.net.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Pacers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can always get a daily dose of great information about your favorite NBA and NFL team, including the Pacers right here. My name is Tom Lewis from IndyCornrows.com, and I'm always here to bring you the latest news and notes about the Indiana Pacers. And tonight, we will share what we learned from the Fieldhouse, where the Pacers lost to the Celtics 109-102 in frustrating fashion that befits a home loss, which has been rare this season. But the Pacers really earned that L tonight with a really poor second quarter, which they were never able to recover from. And despite a late surge to try and get back in the game, they never really had a shot at going for the win. We'll also hear from Paul George directly following the game, his full comments along with the questions, so have all the context. You will hear the frustration in his voice and some complaints about the refereeing and wondering just what the identity of this Pacers team is right now, something that he doesn't know as well. And then the wrap-up will update the injury situation with Monte Ellis and Rodney Stuckey, as well as look ahead to next week's schedule. But before we dive in, remember you can always check in with any questions or comments via email at indycornrows@gmail.com and on Twitter at indycornrows. So let me know what you think about the game and about the Pacers right now as they continue to frustrate. Pacers again have lost two games in a row now for the fifth time this season, dropping back below 500 once again. And I know that seems like I'm always talking about these numbers and the up and down, but it is really just been that type of a season where I just am amazed at how the fluctuations continue and you're expecting something to click and set and this team to be what they are. But we continue to go up and down, as the great Annie Lavoie would say, this is the damnedest season I ever seen. But anyways, the Pacers came out looking like they were headed for another win at home. Strong effort in the first quarter, 31 points, were up by 9 after the first break. Paul George was leading the way. Not only did he have 11 points, but he was getting to the line and made all 7 of his free throws. Looked like it might be one of those nights where best player on the floor was going to step forward and carry his team. But then the second quarter happened. Oh my goodness. Talk about a nightmare. First of all, 17-0. The Celtics flipped that score around in a hurry as the Pacers couldn't even score for quite some time. As it was, they were outscored in the second quarter 29-9. They got 2 points from the bench, and that was mostly the reserve rotation in during that time, and they just couldn't get anything going. Eventually, the starters got back in there, but the Pacers, you know, ended up getting buried there as they flipped that 9-point lead into an 11-point deficit at the half, and that was just something they were not able to recover from. They did play a little better in the second half, but were always on the chase and never got to a point even down the stretch. They did close the lead to 4 and 3, but were not able to get the stops they needed against the Celtics. And in the fourth quarter, Isaiah Thomas got smoking. He had 28 points in the game, 14 of those in the fourth quarter at closing time. He stepped up big time for the Celtics, put that game away. As for the Pacers, you might be asking, where was Paul George? He was pretty much MIA in the second half. And C.J. Miles came alive in the fourth quarter, scored all 19 of his points in the game in the fourth quarter. But aside from C.J., the bench donated 6 points to the cause. So, again, that was 6 points in the first three quarters of action before C.J. got hot in the fourth quarter and gave him a big boost. But previewing the game, you know, it's always looking at, can the Pacers minimize the rebound differential? Can they keep the turnovers down? And can they get something from the bench to bolster the starting five? And in this case, they did great on the glass, rebounding advantage, actually. Not only did they minimize the damage, they actually had an advantage on the glass overall, 52 to 44. But turnovers were definitely a problem, as they had 19 and gave up 13 points on those. And a few of them are just mind-numbing. Bad passes, get stuck in the lane and just throw the ball up. Was pretty ugly in that fact. And, you know, Paul George had 5 of those turnovers. Jeff Teague had 4, although Teague was on point most of the night. Finished with 31 points, 8 assists, and really was attacking, getting in the lane, much like he did against the Wizards on Monday night when he was attacking John Wall and making him be a defensive guy. He was kind of doing the same thing to Isaiah Thomas, and definitely gave the Pacers an advantage in that matchup for much of the game until Thomas got hot late and got his buckets. But another great game by Jeff Teague, and when you consider the fact that Teague and C.J. Miles combined for 50 points, it is really frustrating to see the Pacers take home an L with that kind of production from those two guys. You know, Miles Turner has been playing great lately. He finished with 10 points and 8 rebounds, but really had a struggle shooting the ball from the perimeter. Those mid-range shots on the pick-and-pop at the top of the key that he's been draining were just off. He had one shot earlier in the game where he missed pretty much short and wide right. It was way off and really uncharacteristic. He's been shooting so well whenever he's open and getting a clear look at the hoop. The ball has been seemingly going in, or if not, you know, real close. And this was an open look that he just missed badly. And I really feel like that kind of threw him off the rest of the night. He continued to try and shoot a few more times, but was unable to connect and didn't have that going. And really, that's a big part of his game right now. And if he can't make that shot and be that threat, then that really hampers him, because his post game is really sketchy right now, and he ended up having a struggling night. Glenn Robinson, the third, also another tough night, only made 1 of 9 shots. And while he is a decent defensive matchup out there, the Pacers have been far better in the past few games with C.J. Miles playing alongside those guys. So I wouldn't be surprised. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean C.J. has to start the game, but as he did tonight, he's definitely going to finish games with that starting unit and probably, I would think, start playing more minutes than Robinson. He didn't tonight, but I would think that the way things are going, he definitely is going to have to start playing more minutes. And if the Pacers can get Rodney Stuckey back, I think that will help bolster that reserve unit, and maybe they end up starting C.J. But again, even if they don't, getting him in that lineup so he's that threat to score more readily than Robinson, and especially from the perimeter. He's the one guy the Pacers have right now, really, that is that three-point threat that you can rely on, and they got to get him in the mix and use him as much as they can. So, rough night again. Pacers outscored the Celtics in the first, third, and fourth quarter, but again, that second quarter clunker, where they scored 9 points, shot 14%, just buried them, and they were unable to recover. And again, you know, another rough night for Paul George, 19 points on 16 shots, and really didn't have a big fourth quarter again, 6 points, but, again, CJ was doing most of the damage. Paul was definitely frustrated by the officiating, the Celtics clutch and grab a lot, which after the game he mentioned, how the coaches had prepared them for the physical play of the Celtics, but an early foul on PG that wasn't of the physical nature really got in his head, and he ended up getting one technical in the second half. In the first half, there's one real signature play that you could put as the if you're going to recap this game in one play, it was this play where he felt he got fouled, where he was on defense, but he was talking with the ref, kind of lost his man. Thad Young comes over to kind of help on Jay Crowder. Ball goes off the rim. Young's man, Al Horford, comes flying in, dunks the ball, and it was kind of that ripple effect from PG taking a half a tick to complain to the referee about what was going on, and play didn't stop, and the Pacers got burned, and that was kind of how it was the whole night. And regardless of the physical player, the way that things are being called, Paul has to take over at times. And it was interesting to see. He rolled his ankle in the second half and went down real awkwardly. It looked pretty scary, but was able to get up, shook it off, tightened his shoe up, and came back out. And right after that, he really had a surge of energy and effort, and kind of sitting there wondering, hey, how about giving me that all night, or at least the whole second quarter, but he wasn't really able to sustain that, and again, there were just too many lulls in the game for the Pacers, and they never were able to get over the hump, as the Celtics kept finding ways to get buckets and keep the Pacers at arm's length away, mostly with Isaiah Thomas, getting in the lane. When he can get in the lane for layup, you got a problem. And, the Pacers just weren't able to rotate and help and handle the Celtics as they ran their, solid offense. They run some good sets and get the ball moving and the players moving. And that's what it took to get the win. So as I mentioned, a frustrated Paul George addressed me after the game, giving the Celtics credit for their execution, but also taking some of the blame for not being more physical to match the Celtics' play. And as I mentioned, he said, they were prepared beforehand for that play, but he wasn't able to do enough to return the favor. And of course, also had a few comments for what he saw from the officiating. So here are his comments in full following the game.
Paul, just over your thoughts when you tried to drive to the basket on Marcus, and it looked like you rolled your left ankle. Is that the situation?
Yeah, I rolled it, but it wasn't as bad. Just I haven't had taken a hit like that in a while, so it's kind of like to let me know that it's still there. I was able to tighten my shoe up and finish the game off.
They run good offense. They're a well-structured team. Did you feel like, are you just like giving them credit, or do you feel like they were defensive breakdowns? Because they, Isaiah Thomas got to the lane for a lot of layups, that type of thing.
They do a great job of just opening the paint. And, Isaiah is a strong guard, aggressive guard. It's going to be hard for anybody to contain. I think it's more so us. We knew the game plan. They spread us out.
PG, I'm going to get in there.
We did a great job for the most part. I think they shot right around where we wanted them to shoot percentage-wise. We didn't make enough plays.
Paul, such a swing in that second quarter, just three field goals. What were the issues offensively that you felt?
Yeah, we just wasn't in the groove. We was in the funk. They did a great job of just, holding and, playing physical on this officiating, let them get away with a lot of stuff. Made it tough for us. Regardless, we have to be stronger as a team. I take credit on that for not getting us ready. Coach gave us that game plan that they're going to hold and grab and play physical. I should have been the one, you know, to retaliate on that.
Was tonight as simple as the second quarter? You guys dug yourself too deep of a hole because you outscored them in three of the four quarters.
Yeah, we dug ourselves in a hole. On a team that plays well offensively and everybody shoot threes on their team, it's hard to overcome. Again, we did a great job of, you know, making them shoot contested shots. And they didn't shoot well all night. We were in this game from that standpoint. But that quarter, that second quarter, definitely put us in a hole.
A long stretch of games here. Is it going to feel good to have 3 days off, especially coming off one like this?
Yeah, certainly. I think we're still, you know, trying to get back from the West Coast trip we took. We're still trying to get adjusted to being back home. But, you know, again, it's nature of the season. There's no excuse. We still should be performing a lot better right now.
Paul George, Jeremiah.
Is it a sense? Did you play through those last 8 minutes with much pain in your ankle?
It was more adrenaline took over. It's sore now, but adrenaline kind of took over, and you don't think about it.
Paul, you guys began the season as an up-tempo team, you know, scoring a lot of points, and since then there's been kind of a more structure type of thing. Where are you guys now as an offense? Do you have an identity right now?
We don't.
No, we don't. Our identity is inconsistent. We've yet to spread from the pack. We've yet to put some or string some games together. We've yet to take a step back and look at the big picture and point out some things that we're doing well over the course of the season. So, you know, really we have nothing to really fall back on right now.
What would you like it to be? Would you like to try to get back to where you began the season with that type of player? Do you need more?
You know, it's just tough. It's just tough. We want to be a higher, you know, powered offensive team that, you know, relies on a lot of offense, a lot of running, a lot of movement. But then we're giving up stuff on the defensive end. So I think we got to be what we've always been. And that's a defensive group. Only way we're going to win. You know, we don't have really the playmaking to be the high power offensive teams that you see in this league.
Do you feel like you have the personnel to get back to that defensive style?
Yeah, I mean, we got guys that can guard. We got quickness. We got speed. The only thing that's lacking from our previous teams is rebounding. I think that's one of our big struggles is rebounding and playing against these physical big teams.
Paul, you never seem to be able to get into a rhythm tonight. What were they doing defensively that caused you so many problems tonight?
Well, they're just grabbing and holding me all night, you know. Just funny, to start the game out, I get a cheap call on, you know, going for an offensive rebound. And then all night, you know, I'm getting grabbed, held, come off for shots, they run into me. None of that's being called. So it's just frustrating. You don't know where to go to start the game off when the game starts like that.
When you talk about one, you need to retaliate for their physical play.
Well, I just need to be just as physical. I just need to be just as physical. If they're going to allow them to play like that, I need to be just as physical.
Okay, I'm going to go get Nathan's melon.
Thanks, Paul.
Okay, so that's PG from the Fieldhouse following the loss to the Celtics, a game where they could use a little extra help. And speaking of help, Nate McMillan discussed the status of Monte Ellis and Rodney Stuckey prior to the game and said that Monte is actually a couple of weeks away from returning at least. So it sounded like they weren't even in the evaluation mode with Monte right now. They're going to have him out for a couple more weeks before he starts considering coming back. And I would imagine he would need to get some practice time or workout time under his belt before he's ready to play in a game. As for Rodney Stuckey, he continues to work out before games. Looks like he's pretty close to returning, and Nate mentioned that he hopes to have him available on Monday when they return to action. So, speaking of the schedule, they will be off for 3 days, and then they will be back in action Monday night up in Chicago to play the Bulls. And then they will remain on the road to play the Wizards in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday before coming back home to play the Bulls again at the Fieldhouse on Friday afternoon. That game is a 4 p.m. game at the Fieldhouse, kind of a New Year's Eve game. So not sure why the 4 o'clock tip, but hey, sounds good to me. But now all focus goes to Monday, where the Pacers will try and maintain their season trend of not losing or winning 3 in a row, as they will try and get a win up in Chicago, which will not be easy since they've also had a trend of losing more often than not on the road, and always a struggle up at the UC. So we'll look forward to that game on Monday. Hope everyone has a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holiday, Happy Hanukkah, whatever holidays you observe, please enjoy. And much thanks for listening to the podcast. And feel free to, again, let me know what you think about the Pacers. You can hit me on email at indycornrows@gmail.com and on Twitter at indycornrows. As always, you can find the pod on audioboom.com, or you can subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play. All of the past episodes are available on all those outlets, so please check them out. And that's all for now. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network. You got it.